Poised for Exit is a show for business owners who want to achieve a successful exit based on their own terms. Your business exit will likely be the biggest financial transaction of your life, and for most, you'll have one shot at doing it right. The topics and guests we feature and the stories they share will provide valuable ideas and strategies to improve operations and grow enterprise value so you can achieve the best possible exit outcome. Now here's your host, award-winning certified exit planning advisor, Julie Keys.
Welcome everyone to Poised for Exit, the podcast show for business owners. Our guest for this episode is a financial advisor with a large national firm whose background in manufacturing M&A has drawn unique appeal from business owners and other advisors as well. We're going to hear from him right after we hear these messages from our show sponsors.
Right now, there's a record number of buyers looking for businesses, and many businesses are selling at a premium. To get a free, confidential business valuation so you'll know what your business might be worth, contact a broker at Sunbelt Business Advisors at 612-455-0880. We're Minnesota's largest seller of companies. Let us help you maximize your life's work. Call 612-455-0880 or visit sunbeltmidwest.com.
What we see with many businesses is that they've never gotten marketing to work consistently, and the marketing they do doesn't meaningfully impact their bottom line. Data approaches it differently by partnering with clients for long-term, sustainable marketing solutions. They start with a consultative, crawl, walk, run approach that helps you scale your marketing efforts naturally. Data provides marketing for the long-time success of your business to tell your story in a compelling way and to make sure the value you bring is apparent to everyone. Go to data.com for more information. That's DAYTA.com.
Selling your business may be the furthest thing from your mind, but that doesn't mean you should wait to plan. At TrustPoint, we understand the nuances that come with selling a business and are here to guide you. From unlocking tax efficiencies to minimizing risk, we'll develop the strategies to ensure you're prepared. So, when the time arrives, you'll be ready to enjoy the best years of your life. Learn more at TrustPointInc.com. That's TrustPointInc.com.
For business owners, it can be overwhelming to start planning a transition or exit strategy, but it's so important to avoid unwanted outcomes and unexpected tax bills. The CPAs at JAK, John A. Knutson & Company, can guide you and help make sense of the numbers. Our firm was established over 90 years ago, and we've assisted countless companies with ownership transitions. Leaving your business is a process that takes time. So contact us today to discuss your situation. Visit our website at jakcpa.com. That's jakcpa.com.
Hello, everyone. We are here today with Jeremy Weston. Jeremy is a financial advisor with Edward Jones. Jeremy, welcome to Poised for Exit.
Such an honor to be here, Julie. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
We've been talking about having you on the show for a long time, so I'm excited to have you here.
Likewise.
Yeah. And I don't know any other financial advisor out there who has a manufacturing background in M&A like you do. So it's just so unique. And I have to be, you know, totally candid with you. That's one of the reasons why I wanted you to be on the show, not just because you're a great guy, but, you know, because you just have this differentiator and you can speak that language and not very many people can do that. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. But first, I would just like to have you share, how did you get here?
Yeah.
Like not how did you get to the studio, but, you know,
right.
How did you get to this place? Yeah, like, you know, it was a journey, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you this, Julie, but I was actually supposed to be a commercial airline pilot.
What?
Yeah. It was decided at a very young age that I was very passionate about flying, and I was going to be an airline pilot. In fact, I even wrote Stephen Wolf, who was the president of United Airlines, a letter telling him that I was going to be an airline pilot and asking him what I needed to do.
And this is at what age?
9 years old.
Whoa.
Actually responded.
Really?
He did. And, you know, nowadays, I'm not sure if it was actually him or his assistant or maybe the president of his fan club.
Yeah.
But I got a letter back, and it was so powerful to me, and it was so rewarding to get that connection, you know, to somebody that I really looked up to. And it just something I took with me forever. But anyways, as you know, the end of that story, that didn't work out.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, it shows initiative at the age of nine. Right. Very impressive. So did you keep that letter? Like, do you have it someplace?
You know what? I didn't, and I should have. Yeah. But I know it's terrible. I think about, especially as a parent now, like, why didn't I? But, you know, the memory is there, right?
And the memory's there,
I still
exactly.
have that. But, I you know, it. So my other passion is financial planning. You know, don't ask me how I went from flying a plane to financial planning, but that's where it was. And that's what ended me, you know, that's what got me on my journey into, you know, corporate finance, doing FP&A, had some amazing experiences with global FP&A, joining global audit teams, doing internal audits all over the country, all over the world, in China, Amsterdam, Mexico, Brazil. I would go out and do internal audits for both operational and financial. Mm. And I have to say, you know, going back to that Stephen Wolf letter, I think what really made it for me in that role was just connecting with people. You know, always finding, you know, ways to overcome those language barriers or those cultural differences and finding areas to connect with folks and make them, you know, get a relationship experience out of it as long, you know, as well as the audit piece of it as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, this is just something that I've observed. Okay. So not setting you apart and putting you on a pedestal, but maybe it sounds like I am.
That's okay.
You have a personality and you have done auditing. So that's kind of different, right?
Right.
And so that's really what, you know, usually numbers people are very linear and they're not, they don't tend to be people, nothing wrong with that, right? Because we can't all be people, that's for sure. But for you to have both skill sets, I think that really is another thing that sets you apart that I've been very impressed with. But just really quick, explain to our listeners, what does FP&A stand for?
Yes. So FP&A stands for Financial Planning and Analysis. Hmm. So early in my career, I got involved with the financial planning aspect and doing financial analysis, got opportunities to go into the international FP&A aspect with our internal profit centers within our companies. And then that's what got me into internal audit. And to your point, I have to say that it was probably my relationship skills more than my accounting skills that really prompted me into these teams and integration teams, which led me to corporate M&A opportunities. Mm. I did some acquisition integration projects in China, in Sweden, Texas, and Minnesota, and my last one was in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado.
Really?
And yeah, definitely. So I had a nickname, and it was the counselor.
Oh, and, how sweet.
Right. And so
I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm
no. just like, and I think what had happened was, you know, I going back to that whole piece of connecting, right? I always wanted to connect with folks, and everybody has a stake, you know, whether you're on the corporate end or you're the company that's being acquired and merging with, everybody has their goal, their purpose. And for me, it was having that ability to align their purpose, their goal with the bottom line or the financial aspects of the company, you know, whether it was in engineering or design engineering, cost reductions, manufacturing with inventory and reducing spillage or raw waste, or, you know, with the executive teams on just bottom line profitability, finding out what everybody's, you know, what their purpose was and being able to trace it back to the financial benefit with the company really helped me solidify an understanding and become a liaison between, you know, corporate due diligence teams and the local management teams.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the personality, but I would find myself at the seat at the table talking with, you know, the due diligence teams, executives on these overarching goals and getting to the result.
Right. That is such a unique skill set. And I love the fact that you actually spend time in integration. I just had this conversation a couple days ago, actually, with another advisor who was talking about how tough integration is because so much of it is started after the fact. And then you're trying to bring two cultures together that weren't necessarily meant to be together, so they weren't matched well. It was really all about the numbers. And so you're probably going in, knowing how these things rolled out and still do, sweeping up kind of a mess.
Absolutely.
That's probably why they called you the counselor, because I can't imagine, right? People crying, swearing, jumping out of windows. I mean, you know, maybe not that far, but
close to it. Yeah, I did talk a couple of people off a ledge. That was really it, you know, having that personal ability to just go to where they are and help them achieve what they wanted to achieve. It was funny, in one role, I was just the finance manager. And I had just the finance and accounting team reporting to me. By the end of the integration, I had HR, design engineering, and customer service reporting to me, not by general management decisions, but by those departments seeking me out for representation. And it was at that point that I realized,
I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Right. What am I doing here? Just in finance, you know, I got to get out. But so that I always bring it back to that connecting piece. And that's really what, you know, brought me to Jones and how I ended up at Jones. Because it's a double-edged sword, right? Because I would spend months and sometimes years developing these relationships with these team members, getting to know them personally, their families. But then as soon as the integration was done, the relationship was done, and I had to move out and go somewhere else and start all over again with a new team, new folks. And that was, for me, who, you know, I really focus on relationships, that was hard. That was difficult. I didn't like having to start all over again.
Right.
So I remember being in Boulder, Colorado, and I already had an existing relationship with Edward Jones. And I called up the recruiter and said, listen, I got to change this. I got to do something different. I want to start these amazing relationships and advise folks with the toolkit that I have, but then I don't want to leave.
Right.
I don't want it to end. Mm-hmm. And they said, great. And that's how I ended up at Jones.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's a good fit, and it's been a good fit ever since.
It's been a great experience so far. Yes. Mm. Yep.
So happy to hear that. So any of these folks that you helped through integration, you still in touch with anybody?
Absolutely.
Are you good for you?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. And it's funny because, you know, some of them are local, some of them are different states, but it really was a seamless change, and the relationship is still the same today as it was then.
Yeah.
But instead of dealing with issues that are, you know, something that they're getting paid for, it's issues that are really close to their heart. Whether it has to deal with their personal, you know, where they are personally or where their family members are. But it's such a different and more rewarding experience to walk the journey with them on an individual and a personal standpoint than just a business.
Well, I imagine a lot of them are clients too, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good story. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah.
That has a lot to say about you and, you know, the fact that you do emphasize the relationship, right? It's not transactional. It's a long game.
Yep.
Which we've talked about in the past about other things that you're working on. So, yeah, when you have that staying power and you know that delayed gratification is a thing and it's a good thing.
Yes.
You can really, really make a difference there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things that you kind of started talking about, some of the things that you learned in your prior work and carrying it forward now as a financial advisor with Edward Jones, anything that stands out to you other than what you've discussed?
Yeah. So thinking about the patterns and, you know, what made me successful in my role in FP&A and mergers and acquisitions and what I bring to the table with folks now, again, it comes to being able to quickly summarize, you know, they called it the executive summary, right? Like whenever we did it in an audit, it was, we literally had to write at a third grade level because the executive folks didn't have time to get into all the low level detail.
Sure.
It's just tell me what the issues are and tell me what the resolve is.
Don't make me pull out the Webster dictionary, right?
right. I try to keep that same mentality working with clients today. Whether they're business owners or retirees or pre-retirees, family members, bringing that toolkit of financial planning to them, but presenting it in a way that aligns to their personal goals, to their personal ambitions, has really been a successful approach for me. Mm. And I would say that that transition was very easy to make for me because I was able to use everything in my toolkit, you know, instead of looking at, you know, inventory turns or how to reduce costs and overhead. We're talking about, you know, doing their budget, you know, budgeting at home and finding, you know, how we can continue their lifestyle in retirement without having to change much if we just look at, you know, making some efficiencies here or there. And so and that's one of the things where I really have to give, you know, appreciation to Jones for allowing me to run that business the way I wanted to come in and say, this is how I want to serve my clients. The industry has really changed. 30 years ago, you know, you were an investment representative.
Right.
And today, you know, you're the financial counselor.
Right.
You know, you oversee the financial affairs of everything, not just the portfolio construction. And Jones allowed me to come in and build that from the start.
Well, and I know that you have that expertise to be able to do that. Not everybody does.
Right.
But I totally get what you're saying. Like 30 years ago, that was it, right? You're going to sell products and
it was a product. It was transactional.
And, right. Yep. Yeah, yep. Very transactional. But, you know, like I always say, and my listeners know this too, that your role as the financial advisor, and I know many really great financial advisors. So if you're out there and you're listening, I'm just a reminder that really you are the lead when it comes to the exit planning process, because not, you know, in every situation, in fact, most situations don't have, even have someone like me
right.
as a part of the team. And so your relationship really lends itself to being that quarterback and the leader and kind of corralling the rest of the team because of the relationship you have with the owner, right? It isn't just about what they have saved for retirement. It's
right.
like, you know, the family, you know what their life goals are.
Yes.
You've been there from the very beginning and you'll be there way after everybody else is gone.
Yes. And, you know, oftentimes I can't really get to the solution side of things until I know the real story, until I know the full context.
Right.
You know, what is going on? What is the family dynamic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to get messy.
Yeah.
And, you know, until we pull that, you know, until we take the mask off, and that's often a place where, you know, the differentiation comes as well in advisors. Some advisors don't want to go that deep. You
mm-hmm.
know, some just want to stick with the transaction and stick with the plan, where for me, it's very easy and natural to go deeper, to dig deeper in discovery mm-hmm. and find out what's really going on.
Well, and plus, like you said, you kind of approach their situation from a holistic standpoint, which, you know, I could you just like break that down a little bit, because let our listeners know exactly what you mean by that. I just think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, part of, so when you look at owner readiness, and I know there's a State of Owner Readiness 2023 report that was done, and it said 75%, and the majority of business owners regret selling their business
mm-hmm.
a year afterwards. And it's tied to that emotional difficulty and emotional toll
mm-hmm.
with getting rid of their business. So when you talk about, you know, when you say, well, it's the holistic plan here, it's starting with what's the next step? What are we trying to achieve? And then covering all of those aspects and finding out what's most important to them aside from, you know, what the return is going to be on their investment and finding those solutions. A perfect example was a business owner client of mine that, you know, 2022 was probably, you know, one of the worst recessions we've had in a long time since mm-hmm. 2008. And I had a client say, you know, I can't stomach this. This is too, you know, watching my value go down, watching my retirement go down. I can't stomach this.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out, well, let's pull the layer back here. What's really going on? And it comes down to, you know, concerns about cash flow. You know, I've got payments that I need to make. And what we found out was that I was able to provide them a loan. So I was able to provide a banking solution. They had, and that banking solution allowed them to keep to their investment strategy, to the retirement strategy.
Mm.
And they fully recovered last year in 2023.
Great.
Because we solved that banking issue. It was really a banking solution they needed, not an investment solution.
And that's a banking situation. Those are solutions and offerings you already have within Edward Jones.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I was alluding to. Like you have
exactly.
this whole menu of...
So when we talk about holistics, you know, making sure that you know what your financial services firm, your financial advisor can offer you is critical. Knowing that we have consultation groups that work, you know, we have attorneys, we have CPAs that will work with your CPAs, work with your attorneys and review things to make sure that there isn't thing that's being missed. Folks don't know that we have that. Understanding that we can get involved in risk management, asset protection, and buy-sell agreements, key persons. You wouldn't believe how many times somebody comes into me after completing a will or a trust or a buy-sell, and after a conversation saying, oh, Jeremy, I wish I would have come to you first.
I know.
Before we went and saw them. So making sure you understand all of the services and the resources that your financial advisor has for you is really critical. And I try to do that with all of my clients.
Well, and then it helps not only grow the relationship, but it also puts you in a position that, you know, they have someone that they can go to because, you know, they're not bothering you, right? They actually trust you. You're part of the team, even though you're not in the office. Yeah, you can advise them on so many different things. I love that. So let's speak really quick to maybe what some of the pitfalls might be that seem to be common, you know, when you have to step in and help them fix a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So just on the top end, I'll say for 2023, some of the most important things that I'm making sure business owners are taking advantage of is tax efficiencies. You know, making sure you know what your tax efficiency opportunities are in your portfolios, just your investments, but your business as well.
In 24, you mean?
In 2024, yes, excuse me, from 2023.
To 24,
Because 2022, you know, was a real down year, and it created a lot of tax loss opportunities that you want to make sure you're taking advantage of in 2023 and 2024. So those are some pitfalls where folks, you know, they don't diversify because they're not aware that they've got losses that can offset those gains, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, when we talk about pitfalls of exit strategies, not understanding all of your tax efficiencies that you have can really create a pitfall when it comes time to exit your business and have your liquidity event. You know, if it's a cash buyout, if you're doing it all at once, knowing where, you know, knowing all of your tax efficiencies that you have is critical.
Well, very critical. And it isn't anything you can do overnight.
Right.
Some of those strategies you need 2-3 years or more to implement, correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just knowing that you have somebody that's watching that too and being mindful of that for you.
And I know you are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So those are one of the pitfalls. Another pitfall is not again, it comes back to knowing what your advisor can do for you, knowing the network that your advisor has.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to folks that didn't understand that there were partners, there were buyout opportunities where they could have a partner come in for them. And that would have been a game changer, understanding that they could have had, there was an ESOP opportunity. All of these pitfalls, and again, it just comes back to having those conversations with your trusted advisor before you go to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And after the fact, it's really difficult to undo those things. Sometimes it can be done, sometimes it can't. But again, you know, the pitfalls, I think the biggest pitfall is just to not have that plan and to not start that conversation. So anytime I meet with my folks, and that would be my message to anybody with your advisor, have those conversations now.
Yes.
Absolutely. And if you have a trusted advisor, they do have the resources and should be able to walk you through all of those facets.
Yes. And having someone on your team that understands the process of exit planning like you do, like I do, you don't necessarily need to be a certified exit planner, but it helps.
Right.
But just knowing the process is a game changer. And so that would be another thing that I would recommend too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, gosh, we could keep on going here, but our time has ended. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for the opportunity again. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Super good. We'll have you back. And we will make sure to put your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. I think that's the best way for people to get a hold of you and learn more about you, Jeremy.
That would be great.
All right. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Please stop in again next time.